My name is Sandy Scheel, and I'm interviewing Margaret Reed about Volunteers for Community Service. We're at the Morehead State University Audiovisual Studio. Mm-hmm. Hi, Margaret.
Hi, Sandy.
It's kind of fun that since we're on the same committee, I get to interview you. I thought that was kind of special.
I'm enjoying it, too.
Now, I understand that you were around at the very beginning of the Volunteer for Community Service. Would you give me a little history on that?
Yes, I'd be glad to. Back in September of 1966, Morehead State, it was called college then, received a Title I Community Services grant under the Higher Education Act, and that was through the efforts of then-President Dr. John Neumeier, and then, Associate Dean of Academic Affairs, Dr. Roland Dill, who is, as you know, now President. Mm-hmm. And I was at that time the chair of the program, which later became the Department of Social Work at Morehead State. And we received this grant, the purpose of which was to organize a volunteer service bureau for the city of Morehead and to provide a training program under my direction for volunteers who would embark upon volunteer service. Well, the first thing we did, Sandy, was to, we hired Dr. Arthur Harkins, who was then the professor of sociology at the University of Minnesota, to do a community survey to determine whether citizens in this community were aware of social service needs and what they thought about the possibility of having a coordinated volunteer program. Well, he ran the survey, and we kind of collated the data and whatnot. And he published a little book, about yay big, that was entitled Conservatism in a Small Midwestern Town. And his findings were that there were a good many needs of people in the community, but that there was a considerable amount of apathy in terms of citizen interest in doing anything very much about it. So we wondered, Dr. Neumeier and Dr. Dill and I, what should we do? I mean, Dr. Harkins said this was going to be a really tough program to get going, to get any kind of support. And we decided, well, let's give it a try. So we organized a one-day workshop and had people who were volunteer coordinators from all over the state come. And we had no idea how many people would attend, and we had 130-some people come, which was really very startling to us and very gratifying. And we met in the one of the dormitories on the campus here. And then we said at the end of that meeting that we were going to have a 7-week training program. And 50-some people signed up for that. And so we designed a 7-week training program. We met for 2 hours every Wednesday for 7 weeks. And we had people come in and discuss what agency needs were and how they could use volunteers. And we had a man from Community Mental Health Center up in, it's called the Northland, up in Grand Rapids, mm-hmm. Northland mm-hmm. Mental Health Center came, and he had been using volunteers for years. And we went on 2 field trips. We chartered a bus, and we went to Fergus Falls State Hospital and talked to the volunteer coordinator then, and were shown how volunteers were used in the hospital. I was amazed at the number of people who had never even been to the Fergus Falls State Hospital, though they'd lived here all their lives. Mm-hmm. And then we took another bus and went to the St. Francis Nursing Home in Breckenridge, where they just have a tremendous program for volunteer work. And our group became very excited about it. So at the last meeting, when we talked about what a volunteer really does, I think most people's idea of volunteers was that a volunteer is a kind of a Lady Bountiful, you know, running around with baskets at Christmas mm-hmm. time. And we found there were many, many opportunities for volunteer work. One of our major projects was to work as volunteers with people coming home from back into the community from having been in a state hospital, for example.
I see.
And it's really hard for them to make an adjustment to community living again, and it's hard for their families and things of that sort. Well, anyway, so we decided, a group of us, that it would be fun to become an organization. So we met out at Gladys Coast's home out in Glendon, and she had a very nice supper for us, and there were about 45, three men and the rest women.
Oh, gosh.
And we decided we would call ourselves the Volunteers for Community Service, and that Gladys would be our first president. And Mr. McMullen, who was then the director of, it was then called Clay County Public Welfare, and he'd been very supportive of our group, he was given a grant from the state under the Department of Public Welfare to have one of his people coordinate the work of the volunteers. So, well, that was just fine, except that this woman, bless her heart, was way too busy to do anything like that. So we just kind of fumbled around the first year, which is a very bad thing, to train volunteers and then not have them do anything very much. So, but we hung in there, and the next year we went down to the United Way, and it was in the United Fund, and asked them, told them what we were trying to do, and asked them for their support. And Paul Hansen was on the board at that time, former senior pastor at Trinity, and he thought it was wonderful what we were trying to do. Well, anyway, he called me up and he said, "Margaret, your agency has been approved as a United Way agency, but you haven't any money." So, well, that's grand. So he pulled together a group of very impressive people, men, who were with various funding agencies, and we had lunch together, which is the way things get done, apparently. And we, Gladys and I, tried to explain what we really had in mind about volunteer work. And some of these men were really quite surprised, because again, somebody would say, "Well, my wife, you know, she works at the VA hospital or at St. Luke's or something." But they had no concept of the kinds of things we were trying to do. So, as a result of that luncheon meeting, we were given $3,000 for the first year. So with that $3,000, we hired Dorla Bernou, D-O-R-L-A-B-E-R-N-U. And Dorla had five children and really had no training, but she had been a very active community service person, active in scouting and that kind of thing. So our first office was in her house, along with her five children and her husband. And we had $3,000 with which we had to buy our stationery and pay Dorla and have a telephone. It was really something. And
tight
most
budget.
Of the part, oh, really, really. And the first board was then really made up of the volunteers, all of us who were doing volunteer work. Well, that went along for a while. Actually, the first emergency food pantry was in her basement when a farmer came and offered us a load of potatoes. And she would take in people who had no place to spend the night. It was really remarkable what she and her family were doing for the community. But you see, Sandy, what it was doing was our program. It was beginning to open the eyes of the community to some serious needs. Needs for the homeless. Where could they go? To jail. And that was it.
Right.
Needs for the mentally handicapped. What kinds of services were... Remember, back in those days, we had no mental health service here except the one in Lakeland, in Fergus Falls, which is 60 miles away. And it showed us the need for emergency food because there were no places. If people weren't eligible for county welfare, they had nothing. So it began to identify, as volunteer programs always do, some of the needs that should be met in the community. Well, we stayed in Dorla's house, and then we went to Trinity Church, offered us and gave us a room. And again, we had supplies of food come into there. We first went to Congregational Church, and they gave us a room, and we outgrew that, and then we went to Trinity. And then Lutheran Social Services over in Fargo gave us a place for no rent because we had no money. And one of the things we did was, and this started in our living room at home, we decided that one of the things we might be able to do to help sustain us was to have a store that would sell rummage. You know, it's a great rummage town, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
So my mother happened to be visiting us at the time, and she suggested that we call it the This and That Shop. And she gave us our first $100, with which we bought some hangers to put clothes on. And we started out over near where Duncan had an office. Anyway, it was in the area which has subsequently been developed under urban renewal.
Okay.
But we got real dark little room over there. And we hung up our merchandise and began to serve that. Really, these volunteers were fantastic people. They would just, I just can't tell you the kinds of things that we got ourselves into. Well, anyway, so we began that kind of a shop, and then after a number of moves, one of our moves was to the Bluebird Cafe, which is no longer, but our ladies were over there scrubbing down greasy walls and whatnot to make that place presentable. And we, again, paid $1 a year for rent.
$1 a year?
That's right. So this was all in the urban renewal area.
Oh, gosh.
And then when the urban renewal really came through, then we did, and by that time we were a going concern. And then we had a shop for which we had to pay.
So that was your first fundraiser then?
That's
really
right.
Was this
and now we're located, as you may know.
Right.
And in a very nice location, and we do a tremendous job for the community.
Center Avenue?
Yes, that's right. Mm-hmm. And but you see, the furniture bank started there. The emergency food service, as I say, and so on. So it's really expanded. Then a little later on, under Mrs. Nixon, she became very much interested in volunteer work, and she and her group started what they called the Voluntary Action Centers. And Dora and I went to a meeting. In Atlanta, Georgia. We were sent there under some funding. I don't remember how we got it. And we were the smallest community and the only one that crossed state lines mm-hmm. to be participating in this. And then we became what is known as a VAC center. That was a voluntary action center. And that necessitated that we have a full citizen participation on a board.
I see.
So that's when we began to get lawyers and doctors and people from the Junior League and mm-hmm. all kinds of folks were on that VAC board. And it really began to grow then. And then we eventually moved to headquarters in the Red Cross building in Fargo, which is where we're located right now.
Mm-hmm.
But in the meantime, we have started under the Volunteers for Community Service. We had a 2-year program called Mobilizing Youth for Community Services, which a young woman, Billy Lazar was her name, Lazar, and she started, it was the second year of this grant, and she started training young people in junior and senior high school to do volunteer work, and we went to all the high schools and got groups of kids who were interested in that sort of business, and that went on for several years. We had a newsletter. Mary Ellen Dierks was the first editor of our newsletter.
Oh,
and then we merged with an organization called FISH, which was out of many of the churches at that time. That was in 1971. And then we formed the Emergency Food Pantry, and that has since spun off to the churches. That was one of the things mm-hmm. we wanted to do, programs and then spin them off. So the Emergency Food Pantry is still a very viable organization run by churches,
yes,
and I'm sure you...
They take turns.
Yes, that's mm-hmm. right. They do, and they have provided and continue to provide a very necessary service for very many people. And we are organized the Holiday Clearing Bureau, which mm-hmm. you've also know about,
mm-hmm.
and that is still a big program every Christmas.
That's a wonderful program. Mm-hmm. I wish more people knew about it, understood what it was.
Yeah, that has, they have to go into the armory. They have so many things to distribute, but it really has been a wonderful idea. Many, many people seem to want to give something, but it's always at Christmas time.
Yeah.
And so that Holiday Clearing Bureau has, the staff at VCS just spends a great deal of time around Christmas time getting that thing coordinated. And that's been a wonderful thing. We started an Adopt-a-Grandparent program, and that is now on its own over at the Village. It's just real interesting, the kinds of things that have come out of here. And as I say, we have identified a great many needs. One of the services we were providing was the information and referral service, although we didn't call it that. The staff put together, and you may have seen copies of it, Andy, a book about, well, a notebook size book, and I would say it's at least 2 inches thick. Of all of the services that are offered in this town, in these towns, it's become a Fargo, Moorhead, West Fargo, particular, and Dilworth under the United Way. But that is a handbook of agencies and services and who's the director and where are they located. Because we found so many people would just wander from service to service and didn't have the dimes and quarters that it took to get to these various agencies. And then, as a result of that, we really served as an information and referral service. And then in 1976, I think it was, the United Way gave us that as the job to do under their auspices, to serve as an information or INR service. And that is, we hired an INR specialist to work, and that became a full-time service that we gave, and we had to bring it up to national standards and all kinds of things like that. And so that has kind of, in a very brief nutshell, something of the history. I think it started out with a group of very dedicated people, and it has ended up and is still serving it was one of the top priority agencies on the United Way when they did a study of the agencies that in terms of funding and that kind of business. I've been on that board up until I think it was 3 years ago. So it's been to me very gratifying. It's been an awful lot of hard work to get this going. When we first moved to town, Sandy, I asked for these two towns have any kind of directory of social services and any kind of a council of social agencies? And Reverend Belgum, who was then with Lutheran Social Services, gave us a publication. And it was about, it was like a little tiny notebook. The Junior League had put it out. And it was the first, as far as I know, of any kind of a directory of community services.
Is that right?
It was maybe a quarter of an inch thick.
Oh, gosh.
And maybe 7x10 or 7x5 or something.
And when you
look at it now, you can see the kinds of the things that have really occurred in this 20-year period we've been in Fargo-Moorhead. So
it started with MS then and a grant to the social services.
That's right. And to develop a training program. It was a $5,000 grant.
Uh-huh.
And Dr. Dill was the, I think he was called the director, and I was the coordinator.
You were the coordinator. And most of the people that came to those first seminars, were they just community people that were interested in volunteering?
That's right. There were quite a few people, quite a few sisters from St. Ansgar Hospital who came.
Sure.
And then there were other agency people, like Mr. McMullen sent several of his staff and some other agencies. But basically, it was people who were interested in community work.
Well, now that it's sort of grown over all these years now, is this a national kind of organization?
Yes.
Are you hooked up with other organizations yes. nationally?
That is hooked up, you see, with this voluntary action and the that whole national business. And out of this has come an organization called DOVS, D-O-V-S, and that's
sure.
Directors of Volunteer Services. That was one of the things that Gladys Cairns, who was then the Director of Volunteers mm-hmm. for Community Service, paid staff, got going in North Dakota. And it's been an interesting, I think there is no question that Dr. Harkin's statement that it would be very difficult to do is true.
Yeah.
It was very hard but on the other hand, it was very exciting because we saw this whole program grow, and mm-hmm. it covers so many kinds of services, all ages, all kinds of economic backgrounds. We've done a tremendous amount of work in transporting people to clinics and to hospitals and things of that sort. We got in the paper, and you may notice it every Sunday, Can You Help? Well,
yes.
that we got that put in.
Okay.
And
excuse me. You mentioned your paid staff. How large is the staff now?
I honestly don't know right now, Sandy. There was quite a change, and I think you perhaps would want to talk with somebody who is over there now. But a couple of years ago, see, Hotline was a relatively new agency mm-hmm. also, and I believe it was under the United Way direction. This was after I got off the board.
Uh-huh.
Hotline and VCS
combined.
Mm-hmm. And but I have no, and it was then called Hotline Community Services. But I have noticed recently, and I have not touched base with these people, that they are apparently two different agencies now, because Hotline is advertising as Hotline,
mm-hmm.
and VCS is under Han. What's her first name? I can't think of it right now. Let me see her. Anyway, she did a lot of the work for the Halliday Clearing Office, but mm-hmm. you could check that out, because I think they've gone through several changes.
Well, they historically have a pretty small staff, though.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, when I was up with the Halliday Clearing House, I don't think there were but maybe three people.
Oh, that would be a lot.
Yeah.
They had the director. The first director was Dorla Bernou, mm-hmm. and then Gladys Cairns, and then Janice Jones. And though the last two people, Gladys and Janice, were both graduates of our social work program at Morehead State, and many of the staff have been graduates of our social work program
nice.
Here. And we have used VCS as one of the places where we have had interns. See, under mm-hmm. our program here, you have to have a full quarter of internship.
I see.
And VCS was a wonderful place for an intern learn about the community.
So all the rest of the work that's being done is being done by volunteers then?
Yes.
And anybody that is interested in volunteering can just call?
That's right.
And are they trained, or
they have some training program, and they try to match the volunteer with his or her interests and his or her skills. And of course, since that time, a number of the other agencies have developed training programs.
Yes.
For example, the the Touch program out
yes.
of LSS, and the Friends program out of LSS. Those are all volunteer programs.
Is Friends from Lutheran Social Services?
I believe so. And then, of course, another tremendous program that's developed is the hospice program,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of that is volunteer work, and with an extensive training program. Hotline has an extensive training program. Another program we got started from Morehead State was the Center for Parents and Children, and they train volunteers too, mm-hmm. you see, and use volunteers extensively. So it sort of was a forerunner up until VCS time. We had hospital volunteers, but as far as I know, that was about it.
Okay.
And so it really has been fun to see it grow.
Oh, you mentioned that the first group that signed up for training, there were only three men.
That's right.
Are they more actively involved now, or is it still?
Well, it's basically
primarily
more women than men. Mm-hmm. But on the board now, at least when I left, there were almost as many men as women.
Mm-hmm.
I saw the write-up in Howard Binford's Guide of Scott Kildall. He was one of our presidents. And there have been some very fine people who have worked as volunteers and on that board. And
how do they get new programs started? Does somebody just come to you with an idea, or does it usually evolve out of the staff?
It evolves basically, or it has anyway, out of the identification of needs by the volunteers and by the board.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the staff sees that too, but if you have a board of 20-some people in all phases of community life, you really have a beautiful way of identifying community needs.
You have a good overview mm-hmm, of the whole
mm-hmm.
thing.
And many of those volunteer board members have also done volunteer work as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, for your funding now, are you still a United Way agency?
Oh, yes.
And the United Way and the This and That Shop?
Well, actually, the basic part of the funding is the United Way.
Mm-hmm.
And this and that shop is, I'm not sure how that works now, Sandy, but I do know that it's one of its major functions is to serve the community.
Yes.
And that money, I really don't know where that goes. That has been a part of VCS, mm-hmm. and VCS has always helped to sponsor it. And as far as I know, still does. But exactly how the funding works at this moment, I really don't know.
They provide quite a service because it's a lot of quality clothing and,
mm-hmm.
and things at a very inexpensive
mm-hmm.
price.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever have then meetings as boards, or do you ever meet with the volunteers? Do you get together as a group?
Yes, they have. I have here. It was fun for me to reread it. This was celebrating our 10th anniversary.
Oh.
And for a long time, I served as what they called a consultant. That was an arrangement that we had with the United Way, basically because back in those days, until we became a VAC agency, we really had no trained staff. We couldn't afford them.
Sure.
So in order to get United Way funding, I served as a consultant.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, we used to have meetings. I don't know, again, just how they're doing that. But one of the things they do have is I know they have orientation meetings for new board members.
Mm-hmm.
I know the This and That Shop staff gets together. They used to meet, I think, once a month and have lunch or something like that together with some of the board members of VCS and some of the staff. And how else they're doing that right now, I really don't know. There have been a lot of changes since I went off the board.
Well, it sounds like it functioned a lot like junior league, though. You got a lot of things done over lunch.
Yeah.
Puts people at ease. They seem to do well.
Yes.
Now, the leadership, has it evolved from inside, or have you tended to hire, professional people, or do they tend, you mentioned the internship.
Well, they have, Melinda Hahn is the name I was trying to find. She, for example, I believe did her internship there, and then after she received her Bachelor of Social Work degree, they have a regular procedure, a search procedure.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't used to.
We
just hired Dora like that, but now they have to go through any kind of staff hiring through the personnel committee of the board, and it has to be open and equal opportunity and all that kind of business. But they are trying to hire people who are qualified, who have at least had a Bachelor of Social Work degree.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have a bookkeeper and a secretary, and of course those are different skills. But
sure.
They used to have the director, and then they had a volunteer coordinator, and those were the two main staff people. And boy, those people really worked hard.
That's a tremendous amount of work that gets done with a minimal amount of staff.
It really is. And so many things just kind of flew at us all at once,
uh-huh.
It's like opening a Pandora box or whatever. As you begin to identify needs, they just fly at you. and when you're the only one of the only very few agencies in town, It really makes a big difference.
Is VCS set up as an immediate care service like the Red Cross? And can someone come to you and need some help right now?
Well, what we would do is refer you to the, refer the person to whatever agency would best serve mm-hmm. your needs. We don't do any actual
hands-on
kind of thing. We are basically, basically there to help the client identify the services that would meet his or her needs,
okay.
and then get them there, and then follow up to be sure that they are getting the kind of service they need. One of the things that we found in this community is that there was very little, at least back then, very little case finding and very little referral services available. Somebody would go into an agency and they would just, you know, well, try over there or try over there. And these people are, you know, they don't have that kind of background or funding to spend the gas running around to find different places.
So even the agencies didn't know what the other agencies were doing.
Exactly right, yeah. Okay. And that's another thing we got started was an agency that pulled together the various agencies in the community.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of grew out of VCS and the leadership from school and that kind of thing. And that has become, I think, a part of the United Way to help agencies mm-hmm. Meet together. And then the National Association of Social Workers meets together once a month, and they do the same sort mm-hmm. of thing there.
You mentioned that Dorla ended up with people in her house.
Yeah.
Did you ever end up with anyone in your house?
Oh, sure.
Did you?
Yeah, but we didn't do that as much as Dorla did. I mean, she really... And now you see we have the Dorothy Day House for
sure.
the homeless, and that just started a 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But, well, no, 1 year ago, we just... I'm on that board,
say.
And we just started... We just had our first anniversary. But, again, it was an identified community need, and it takes a while to get support for that sort of thing. And so that's another very viable agency. Well, it's remarkable to me what's happened in just the years we've been here.
Yeah, well, and the Dorothy Day House, that's a marvelous idea.
Yes.
I walk every day,
mm-hmm.
and that's on my route. I walk past there, and I have seen... I don't know how many people mm-hmm. coming and going mm-hmm. from there that I know have gone there because
yeah.
of a need. So mm-hmm. I mean, I personally have seen how many people are using that facility.
Oh, yes. And it's right this time of the year, it gets to be full to overflowing. They are overflowing into the Newman Center right now.
Is that
in sleeping
right?
bags, yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some of these people are families with little
yes.
kids. And I was over there just a couple days ago, and there was a mother and two little children, and they had absolutely no place to go.
And no money.
And no money.
Mm-hmm.
No, and they weren't eligible to get any money from county social services, so that's filling a real need.
It is. Mm-hmm. I know in order to be eligible for assistance, you have to establish a residence,
right.
but to do that, you have to have some money to get you started.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. One of the questions is that, have you held office? Well, you have virtually held office with VCS for most of the last 20 years.
Yeah, well, it started in 60. We got it off the ground and wrote the grant in 66 and got the organization going in 67. And I was with it up until, when did I retire? 1982.
That's a long time.
Yeah.
So you really have seen it through all its growing pains.
Yeah. Yeah, I have. And it's been very interesting to watch. Very, very frustrating at first, because
mm-hmm.
we simply could not get across to the funding sources the idea of what volunteerism was all about. They just had a very limited notion. And furthermore, it's been my... Well, I used to say that the biggest social problem we have in this community is apathy.
Mm-hmm.
We just don't like to recognize that we have any problems. Now, I don't think that's unique to this community by any means, but it is a very difficult thing to deal with if you're trying to get help for people who need it.
That's right.
And when people do, well, that doesn't happen in Fargo-Moorhead. Well, yes, it does.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think when people in the community from all walks of life begin to do volunteer work, they begin to see exactly what is going on,
and
they're just appalled.
Yeah, the education of volunteers or to educate people to what volunteers are is still difficult.
Oh, yes, yes,
you know, it is. It's a struggle for people to realize how much can be done, I think, by an unpaid person. Yeah.
And how tremendously satisfying that is to the volunteer.
That's right.
I think one of the things I tried to do when I would talk to groups of volunteers was really to let people know how very special they are.
Mm-hmm.
And they are, because
that's right.
they don't have a position, they don't have a title, they don't have a salary. They're doing it because they want to.
That's right.
And that takes a very special kind of person.
Yeah.
And I have yet to run into a person who really was devoted to volunteer work who didn't feel that he or she was getting more out of it than he or she gave.
Isn't that true?
Yeah. That's really
is. As you talk to people about rounding out their lives by volunteer placement, now the ones that just love it have done everything.
That's right.
You know, they try a little bit of everything. Mm-hmm. Are there any particular events that you remember, any milestones? And was there a certain point you had to get past in the development of the program before you felt real confident that it was here to stay kind of thing? Or
well, I think, of course, when we became a United Way agency, that was a milestone, even though we
had no money.
Had no money. But it still meant a sort of a vague kind of community acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Sandy, if you could... I've sat on both sides of the table at the United Way. I've been on their board, and I've also gone down to plead for funds. And we almost literally got down on our hands and knees. I remember going down one time with 9 volunteers to talk to the
United Way board?
United Way funding committee.
Uh-huh.
And we each one, I primed them, I trained them. So what they did, you know, and they were doing this and this with the elderly, they were doing this and this with the mentally ill, and blah, 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 up and down the line. And I think that poor committee thought we were, you know, it was sort of a chorus line approach, which they weren't used to.
That's right.
But every year we got a tiny bit more. And then when we became a VAC agency, and that gave us national recognition, and then the United Way really did pick up its ears and see that there was something serious going on here. And then as we began to, that began to help spread us out into the community, because up until then our board was just our volunteers.
Sure.
And now we went out and really got people from, I mean, I can name you names of people I suspect you know very well.
Sure.
Leaders in the community on our board. And that made a great deal of difference, of course, because they tapped into and knew funding sources and that kind of business. So there have been a number of milestones that, our 10th anniversary was terrific, and we've had our 20th. No, we haven't, but we will have in a couple
Very
or three
soon,
years.
Yeah,
that's right.
You know, I did not even realize you could become a United Way agency and not get any money.
Well, I think that was very unusual, but it did happen that one
They got
time.
You on the roster,
they
though.
Got us on the roster.
Yeah,
and,
right.
And then I think Paul Henson, as I say, he pulled together these leaders who were on the United Way board. And one of them took us to lunch at the Fargo Country Club, and that did it. I mean, then when Gladys and I were able to say, look, this gentleman, this is what we're doing, this is what we're trying to do, because they hadn't really, I mean, why do you need to coordinate a bunch of ladies who do good deeds,
that's
you know?
Right.
And I mean, that's exactly the attitude they had. But when they saw what we were doing, we were one of the first ones to start taking retarded kids swimming, for instance. We worked with... cerebral palsy children doing that patterning business.
Oh.
Some of our volunteers did that. We worked with people who were coming back, as I say, from Fergus Falls or from private hospitals where they had treatment for mental illness. That takes a lot of training. It takes a lot of courage. But
a real
that's
commitment
what we did.
Too.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so we weren't. I'm not running down hospital volunteers. I think they do a terrific job. But don't misunderstand me. But there is more.
There is more.
That's right.
It's hard to teach people the difference between being Lady Bountiful and being willing to get your hands dirty.
That's right.
And once they see you are, I think it makes a difference in how they feel about the
And
growth.
I think that the hospitals have increased their use of volunteers recently, too, tremendously.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of that kind of snowballs as you begin to take off. And
And now when you went to this first conference for VAC in Florida, and we were the smallest community represented there, it's been my experience that that happens even now frequently, that we are ahead of our time a little bit by size. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, that's a tribute to our leaders and to someone like you, that there we have people like you here who see these needs and are willing to put in the time. You've put in a lot of time and effort on that to get it going.
Well, that was an exciting meeting to go to. Doral and I went, and Sylvia Hovey from the agency across the, you know, the Citizens Actions Program, and Earl Stewart and Jim Backus, who was then head of the United Way. Mm-hmm. We all went, and it was exciting to see how this wee little funny agency that we were struggling so hard to get going stood up proudly and told the world what we were doing. And I mean, this was in Atlanta, and all these people were from New York and Chicago and Detroit and so on. And they were doing the same thing we were, at a whole different level. It also showed us some very distinct needs that I was glad to see raised, and one of them was for some kind of a council of social agencies or something that pulled this community together.
Right.
And then that was before, you see, we had any mental health program here, and I think that helped because we worked on that too. And so now we're tied in, as you know, with Lakeland, and have people right here at St. Anne's College.
Yes.
But that was, none of that was here then.
Yeah.
And so It's you can do it in a small community if you get a few people really gung-ho and really ready to devote a lot of time.
Mm. It's a real help to you when you can hook up with like Nationwide.
That's
with
right.
all these other
That's
a lot
right.
of the things you're struggling with, they've already gone through it, can help speed you up a little bit, benefit from their knowledge.
And they set standards too, which I think are very important for a community to know that their agency is meeting national standards.
That's right.
And that's important.
Now, the Volunteer Bureau still operates basically independently, doesn't it? Volunteers for Community Service is still an independent agency. You're not.
Yeah.
You work.
It's a United Way agency.
A United Way agency. Mm-hmm. And you collate with different groups on different things. But
that's right.
You're an entity of
Under
your
ourselves.
Own, and
mm-hmm.
you're still an information and referral kind of service.
As far as I know.
Yeah.
I remember, I go. I retired three
Just
years
a
ago.
A couple years ago.
Or two years.
Ago,
whenever. Three in May.
Yeah.
Okay.
But are there any other stories or information that you'd like us to get recorded?
I think maybe one of the things that I would really want to emphasize, and that is how important these volunteers are to each other. Certainly during the beginnings of this thing, I mean, the friendships that evolved from this were really quite wonderful. And I mean, pulled together a bunch of people who'd never seen each other before in their lives, different churches, different all kinds of backgrounds, and to see what happened with those of us who were ready to do this was very exciting. Then I think it has helped a lot to overcome some of the apathy in the community. I really do think so.
I think so too.
And lots and lots and lots of people have worked very, very hard on this, and I feel, you know, it's kind of like watching a child grow up, you know. you see this wobbly little infant, and all of a sudden they're going through all kinds of exciting changes, and it's been fun to watch.
Well, again, I do think it's a tribute to you, though, that in the beginning, where you had only a concept to talk to people about, you had 130 people show up, and out of that, 50 of them stayed on for a 7-week training. You had to have a pretty impressive philosophy to get over one-third of the people to stay with you for a seven-week training period. So
that was I was amazed, really. Yeah. I think we hit right at a very good time in this community's life, and and we did have a good program.
Yeah.
We had trying to get publicity out on this. I had no help. I mean, really, I didn't have a secretary even for my own program, much less for this thing.
Sure.
And I got my family over here. I got my mother-in-law. I got everybody under the sun. And I used the Spurs, which is a sophomore girls group here who do volunteer work. And
Everybody got in the act.
That's for sure. But it went well. I didn't know. You know, I thought, well, maybe 30 people would come. And here was this mob. We ran out of food. We didn't.
Oh, that's nice, though.
Yeah,
that was great.
That was good. Yeah, that was fun.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate
the time. I enjoyed talking about this. And
thanks,
thank
Margaret.
You very much.